In recent decades, millions of people have drifted away from Jesus and their Catholic faith. Sadly, many may never find their way back. I'm Tom Peterson, and I believe that God has called me to use my background in media to be a catalyst in the new evangelization. Our organization produces inspiring and creative evangelization messages that have helped lead hundreds of thousands of inactive Catholics, converts, agnostics, and atheists home to Jesus and His Holy Church. Join us as we travel across North America to bring you stories of heartbreak, redemption, and transformation as the Holy Spirit leads His people home. God has an extraordinary plan for each of our lives. He wants us to spend eternity in heaven with Him and bring as many people with us as possible. This is Catholics Come Home. Welcome to Catholics Come Home. Today's episode comes to you from beautiful Vancouver, Canada. It's a city known for its spectacular scenery. Unfortunately, it's also a city known as the second most secular city on the planet, where over half the population has absolutely no faith. Today we're going to meet a linguistics professor who spent the better part of 52 years living a life as an atheist, but through God's miraculous touch, she came home to the church. Like everybody else in this series, today's guest came home to the church thanks to Catholics Come Home and responding to the call of the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to meet Dr. Gloria Sampson. Gloria, thanks so much for being with us today and welcome home.
Thank you.
Tell us about your childhood and your family's faith background.
My parents were both Catholic. I was raised Roman Catholic. Although I went to public school, I went to catechism every Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3. So that's where I picked up my practical knowledge of the religion.
Tell us about your family and where you grew up.
I grew up in Chicago, south side of Chicago, and went to Augelt Public School there. When I finished grade 8, my parents moved westward to the suburbs, and I grew up for the rest of the time in Hickory Hills.
How was your faith as a child and into your high school years?
Basically, just about everybody we knew was Catholic. My parents came from large families, so on weekends we always went to grandma's. Everybody was Catholic around us, so you might say I was culturally raised as a Catholic. It never occurred to me that there would be any other religion.
So what happened when you graduated high school and started getting into college with regard to your faith?
As an undergraduate, I began to fall away from the church. At the time, I think there really were no programs for young people or any special outreach because everybody was Catholic, and I think that nobody ever thought that anyone would leave the church. So I would go to Mass, say at the local Newman Club, and there was nothing more. You know, you just went on Sundays to Mass and that was it. Also at the time, and I didn't realize this, going to Mass was more of a spectator thing as compared to what I know about Mass now, where you actually participate much more. And of course you understand the language now. Whereas before it was all in Latin, you didn't really know I certainly didn't know what was going on. So you simply looked on, and I don't think there was very much to hold on to. And that's when I began to fall away from the church.
How old were you when you fell away from your faith?
I reached the age of 21, and I thought you either belong or you don't belong. You either believe or you don't believe. Do it right or don't do it at all. So I didn't do it at all and simply left the church and never thought about it again.
Tell us about your graduate school experience.
It was right after the time that John F. Kennedy had given his famous speech, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And I really was grabbed by that. So I signed, I sent out the form that I filled out, and remarkably was chosen as one of the candidates for the first group to Asia in October of 1961. I finished my PhD at the University of Michigan. I also got married while I was there to a man who was also finishing his PhD. We moved north to Edmonton, Alberta, had our children there, and that's where my professional career began.
You mentioned you had an interesting experience in the church you got married in.
Neither my husband nor I wanted to hurt our parents, and both were churchgoers, but his parents were Protestant and mine were Catholic. Neither Jeff nor I believed at the time in God. But as I say, we didn't want to hurt our parents, so we tried to think of some solution that would be compatible with our lack of belief and our parents' belief. So we happened to find what was called a Universal Unitarian Church in Oak Park, Illinois. And we went and we were very frank with the pastor there, told him our story. And he said, well, it doesn't make any difference if you're atheists. This is probably the place you belong. And my husband and I were careful not to smile while we were with him. But when we left and started back home, we really just burst out laughing because it seemed so ridiculous to us. And it didn't help us, certainly didn't help move us towards any church whatsoever.
Did you teach communists in communist China?
Yes, it's hard to believe. In 1980-81, again, this was, I ended up in China. Again, this was the result of my walking past an office when I was at a Linguistic Society of America meeting in Los Angeles. It was a room in which people were interviewing candidates for jobs. I didn't need a job because I had a good one, but I stepped in there just to see what was there. When I stepped in, a piece of paper flew across my feet. I bent down and picked it up, and it was an ad from the Chinese saying that they were recruiting people to come to China and train teachers of English as a second language. When I saw it, I thought, well, gee, that really seems kind of interesting, and I had studied Chinese as a graduate student.
So during all of those years abroad, did you think about God at all?
I was happy being an atheist. I had no, God just never came into my mind. It was just as far away from my mind as you could imagine. And it helped me get along with the communists quite well. You know, we felt quite friendly towards one another.
How did you end up in Vancouver?
It was a somewhat sad story, actually, because my husband and I ended up getting divorced. I moved to Vancouver with my two children, and I began teaching at Simon Fraser University here. I trained teachers to teach English as a second language.
Something happened that changed everything. Tell us about that.
Yes, I had been retired for some years, and I began thinking, gee, I'm supposed to think about things like death and so forth, and thought, well, I've been without God for over 50 years, which is kind of remarkable, and I haven't needed him so far, so I guess I don't need him anymore.
In a moment, we'll witness how Dr. Sampson's life changed forever.
A real surprise, because I expected people to be coming at me, trying to suck me into the church. And they were just normal, regular people at talking in a normal, regular way.
What comes to mind when you think of confession? You might be feeling like, I'm afraid. What's the priest going to think of me? Or, since God loves me and forgives me, do I really need to tell my sins to a priest? Or maybe, if I go to confession, I'll feel awkward telling the priest everything, so maybe I should just wait. Well, it's time to understand that these distractions are keeping us away from the healing and saving graces that come from this incredible sacrament of reconciliation. Jesus loves to forgive us. He wants to reconcile us with our Father, a relationship broken through sin. Remember, reconciling our relationship with God was Jesus' idea in the first place. And since God created us, He knows what will really bring us peace. When we are set free from our burdens and are forgiven and healed, we can truly be joyful again. And after we shed our sins in the confessional, we'll feel like a 100-pound weight is lifted off. And the best part is that Jesus loves to forgive. He's anxious to forgive. Will we give him that chance?
Over the years, we begin to realize how quickly life goes by. For some of us, our journey will end without notice. And when our transition into eternity begins, there won't be a chance for any do-overs. No time to rewind our life. No chance to choose a different ending.
Stupid little brain of yours to do any...
For the movie of our life can be used to judge us. We will sorrowfully relive the bad times. And joyfully revisit the good. It is then we will fully realize how our unkind thoughts and selfish choices wounded others and led us away from God, our loving Father.
You people are lazy.
And each time we ignored God's voice,
I think she's pregnant by somebody else.
Our conscience grew more deaf and our heart hardened. Thankfully, you still can ask God to help edit your life story and create the ideal ending. No matter what you've done, there is good news. Since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. Jesus can heal your memories and forgive your past if you accept his mercy. You really can be freed from the addiction of sin and find lasting peace. Imagine hearing God say after your life's movie, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It all starts by asking Jesus to help you now. If you've been waiting for a sign, this is your chance to begin an adventure with God that will last forever. Learn more at CatholicsComeHome.org. Trust in Jesus and find hope, forgiveness, and a more abundant and everlasting life. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Years later, when you ended up in Vancouver, a pivotal moment occurred. Tell us what happened.
It was a kind of bizarre thing, really. I was sitting one day in my chair where I sit when I watch TV, and an ad came on TV, and I was truly shocked. I had never seen such an ad before. It said, "Catholics, come home." I had never heard anyone say, "Come home." I didn't know you could come home. So I saw that and actually in a way almost didn't believe it, but started watching for it and was on a local TV station. What happens? I see it another two times. And I thought, well, this has to be real. So I went on the web and Googled "Catholics Come Home, Vancouver, British Columbia," and came up with a page came up and looked at that, and it had a list of churches. So I looked at that list and even Googled the location of the churches, because having been away for half a century, I had no idea where the Catholic churches were, and then realized I didn't know what to do. How do you get into the church? You know, you can't just walk in. It used to be in Latin. I knew that it was in Latin when I was a kid, but now it was even in English. I knew that people were singing and maybe even playing guitars. I had no idea of how to cope with that kind of church.
You were an atheist for about 52 years. What brought about a change?
Oh, I had been reading a number of books about the history of Christianity and had read one that began to bother me, and I couldn't figure out why I was bothered after reading this academic, historically accurate, correct history of Christianity. It went on for 2 weeks or so. Every day, something would come into my mind, and I say, why am I exercised by this wretched book? And one day, I happened to be walking past my dining room table, and all of a sudden, it just hit me. I am bothered by the book because it's about Jesus Christ and his church, and the word divinity is not even mentioned once in this book. Then I suddenly realized, I still believe. I still believe. And I realized this is a sign from God.
You weren't sure how to come home, but wanted to. What happened when you were walking your dog?
I'm walking my dog on the trail behind my house, and I saw a woman, a neighbor who lives across the street, and I said, "Hi, Ursula." She says hi to me. We hadn't seen one another for a few weeks. And so I commented on that, and she said, "Oh, I've been really busy, and let's talk about it." So she invites me up for tea, and I go up, and we're chatting in general. And I said, what's kept you so busy? So she said, "Well, I've been going every week to a seminar at my church learning about my religion." She said, "I didn't really know anything about my religion, even though I was raised Catholic." And so I said, "Oh, I was raised Catholic too, and I learned nothing about my religion." You know, we both kind of laugh. And a few days later, I get an email from her. And it's a little invitation, a poster kind of thing, that says there's a seminar going on called Discovering Christ, and it gives the location of the church. So I Google the church location and discover that this church is only 6 blocks away from my home, so I don't even have to go very far to get to this thing. During the process of going to the seminar, I discover literally the path to come back to the church.
What did you think of that group at church?
Oh, they were extraordinary. A real surprise, because I expected people to be coming at me, trying to suck me into the church. And they were just normal, regular people and talking in a normal, regular way. I found them compatible, nice. They seem to have lots of insight into how to live a good life, and that's very appealing.
At what point did you commit to coming back to church?
By the end of the series, there was an invitation to go to confession, and in the weeks before going, I had these people around me that I could ask questions of. So, for example, even just going to church, I hadn't been to church for years, and I noticed that when communion time came, everyone in the church, all the people, got up and they marched towards the altar. And I was absolutely petrified, because when I had grown up, only a few people went up to the altar to receive communion. And I said to the woman sitting next to me, "I can't do this because I haven't been to confession for half a century." So she said, "You simply put your arm across your shoulder and the priest will bless you when you're up there." So it was the availability of people to ask questions informally, not having to go directly to a priest with what seemed to me to be really stupid and dumb questions. But they were there, they could answer them, they could bring forth things that I hadn't even thought about. And that provided the path.
How did you feel when you came out of that confessional?
I felt free. I felt ready to fly.
All those years away from the Eucharist, how did it feel when you finally received?
When I received the Eucharist for the first time after 52 years, I was ready to cry. I had to control myself to keep from weeping out of happiness.
Coming up, the dramatic conclusion to Dr. Samson's story.
And there was one truth that I was really missing, and that was God.
We've seen how easy it is to lose our focus, to get distracted from our goal and to veer off course in life. In my book, Catholics Come Home, God's Extraordinary Plan for Your Life, the introduction talks about this scene. And the scene is a busy, bustling city with a lot of pedestrians, a whole lot of commercial traffic, trucks and so forth, a lot of secular lures of the world. But we see off in the distance a bridge, and that bridge spans over to an island. The people on the island are happy, they're at peace, a lot of nature, it's beautiful. That bridge in this analogy is our church. Our Catholic faith helps guide us to that ultimate paradise of heaven. You and I as evangelists are called to be those flag bearers, to wave traffic onto the bridge, the safety of the church, getting folks over to heaven. Let's take our role and help our friends and relatives, because sadly, for every 24 cars that enters the bridge, only 6 stay on it to complete the journey. We need to be the evangelists, the flag bearers, to wave our friends and relatives, neighbors and co-workers onto the safety of the bridge and help guide more souls to heaven.
So many of us carry such heavy burdens.
You crazy!
Deep within, we struggle.
Come on, babe. It'll be fun.
Because sin separates us from God.
She's having a relationship with George.
But thanks to the grace of confession, God compassionately listens, forgives, and sets us free. So if it's been a while since you've been to confession or Mass, come home and experience a fresh start. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
What other fruit and good things are happening in your life now?
Well, you actually feel an urge to evangelize, as strange as it may sound, because after 52 years, who am I to go evangelizing? But you really do feel that urge. And so I tell my story in the hopes that maybe someone else who wonders if there's a way to get back to the church, that maybe my way or my experience with that way could help them come back too.
How does it feel to be home?
Now that I'm home, I feel really calm, peaceful, filled with a kind of inner joy.
What do you know now that you didn't know back then?
I know God exists. I know the truth now. It's as simple as that. I searched for the truth as an academic my entire academic life. That's what you do at the university. And there was one truth that I was really missing, and that was God.
What was your most unexpected discovery on your journey home?
The love. I didn't realize as a child that the church was about love. I had about a 12-year-old's conception of the church as a thing, and I didn't realize that the church was a body of people, and that body was filled with love. And that was a revelation to me. You can read the words, but until you actually understand that the church is a body of people and not a building, you don't understand that there is love at the basis of all of that.
How did that make you feel?
Awed. It's an awesome thing to know that God is coming through every person that you come in contact with, if they want Him to be there.
Why is the new evangelization so important?
The new evangelization is important because we have to understand that God is within us and He comes through us so that we can give to others. The miracles are not out there. The miracle is that God comes into me, and if I allow God into me, then I can also allow God out, and you can see that, and you can become evangelized by seeing that too.
Where do you go to build your faith and get strength?
When I'm in church and we sing the Our Father, to me that is the most beautiful thing in the world. And I really do at that time feel that I have no will of my own left. It is all God's will, no will of my own. And that's the way it should be.
Gloria, we're so glad you've been with us today, and welcome home.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
St. Thomas Aquinas once wrote, "To convert someone, go and take them by the hand and guide them." Today's viewer question is all about guiding conversion. When someone tells me they want to come back home to the Catholic Church but doesn't know what to do, how should I guide them? Okay, let's say your coworker, John, expresses his desire to return to the church after being away for a decade. After sharing your enthusiasm for his re-interest in Christ's Catholic Church and your own love of the faith, remember these four steps. Affirm, advise, recommend, and reassure. First, affirm. Remind John that his Father in heaven wants him to come home. And so do we, his brothers and sisters and his Catholic family. He has been missed and not forgotten. Second, advise. Advise John to return to the sacrament of reconciliation and to Mass. Also suggest that in or outside of confession, he speak with the priest about receiving communion worthily at Mass. Third, recommend. Recommend that John read the Bible and the Catechism of the Catholic Church to learn more about his Catholic faith, and perhaps even join RCIA, a coming home program, or another small faith formation group at his parish. CatholicsComeHome.org is also full of great resources to help converts and returnees find answers to their questions and learn more about the Catholic faith. Finally, reassure. Reassure him that he is not alone. The Holy Spirit will help guide him through the process of returning to the practice of his Catholic faith. And hopefully you will help too. If John lives near you, offer to attend Mass with him for his first time back and consider buying him breakfast afterward. I encourage you to visit CatholicsComeHome.org to learn more about helping others on their journey home to the Catholic Church. Don't forget that God put this coworker in your path for a reason. He knows that you are a chosen person to help him evangelize this soul. By going with the prompting of the Holy Spirit, know that you will be doing it all for the greater honor and glory of God.
Here's your chance to get active in the new evangelization. Visit the CatholicsComeHome.org website, enter through the door, and click on the Shop tab. Here, you can order a Catholics Come Home book, evangelization cards, a DVD of the evangelicals, or a car magnet. If you or someone you know has come home to the church thanks in part to Catholics Come Home, let us know. Or if you have a comment, question, or want to support our mission, email us at info@CatholicsComeHome.org or write to us at Catholics Come Home, P.O. Box 1802, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Dr. Gloria Sampson spent the better part of over 50 years traveling and teaching around the world, but doing so without God in her life. But her greatest adventure began when she came home to God late in life and accepted that warm embrace of her Catholic family. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Catholics Come Home. Please keep Gloria and all of us at Catholics Come Home in your prayers. Remember to do your part in the new evangelization by helping to love somebody to heaven.